Hey everybody, welcome back to the All In Podcast. This is episode 49. We are almost to the half century mark. I am one of the co-hosts, Mike Badzik, joined by my guy, Eli Cooper. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. We had a great weekend of football, man.
It was a great weekend of football. Like, those 1 o'clock games were really good. And like, so once the Steeler game got wrapped up and I felt comfortable, but even a part of that, like, I was just on the Red Zone channel and Scott Hansen's losing his mind.
Yeah.
Because you had the Falcons game, you had the Browns game. It was a good weekend of football.
So we're not going to talk about Falcons and Lions because it's not on our schedule here. But how bad do you feel for Todd Gurley?
You know what? I kind of do feel bad. I don't know what happened. Like, do you think he broke a tackle. Because he broke the one tackle, right? And then I think once you break a tackle, you're like, oh, I'm running. Like, I'm just
– right.
Like, kind of forgot probably.
Exactly.
Realized it at the last second and tried to fall.
Well, see, I think that last tackle he broke, that Lions defender seemed to kind of, like, let him go.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of bringing him to the ground. So then, like, your natural reaction is to, like, stay on your feet.
Right.
So, and I think he just naturally, like, stayed up. And his momentum carried him forward. And he's like, oh, crap, I'm this close to the goal line. And tried to fall, but he broke the
ball.
And it was just because – and it's crazy because it was a couple of years ago. I think it was 2018. He had a situation where he did that, right? He went down at the one. It was one of his, like, huge years, right, where he was, like, going completely crazy. But he didn't score, like, his second touchdown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped at the one,
right?
Deal the deal. And fantasy people went crazy. Like, people were so upset. And Todd Gurley was like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, he, like,
he had to do it.
Right, but he had to do it for the win. And then this time, this worked out for everyone in fantasy. Not only if you had Todd Gurley, but also if you had – TJ Hockenson or Kenny Galladay,
the
Lions, right? You got those extra points. So it worked out for every fantasy manager, but not the Falcons. The most creative ways to lose games.
You know, it's funny because they do find these creative ways to lose games. And I actually, I bet on the Lions this week, +1.5. And I was texting with Taylor, who bet on the Falcons, giving 1.5. And I said, I thought we had a rule. Don't bet on the Falcons, right? Said, we had a rule. Don't bet on the Falcons. And he said, well, I thought there was a Dan Quinn clause attached. And I said, well, maybe that's a good point. And then, you know, sure enough, right? And then Todd Gurley goes in. And it's funny. We're, like, blaming Todd Gurley. We're like, oh, Todd Gurley, if he wouldn't have scored, they would have won. They would have won. But also, like, they gave up an 80-yard drive in 60 seconds. Like, we just assumed that the defense, like, as soon as he scored, we were like, oh, he just blew the game. They're going to give up a touchdown and lose. Like, that's what we think of the Falcons. Right, it's sad. It's sad. I hate to be a Falcons fan, man. Atlanta sports in general.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we're not going to talk about that game, but it was good to discuss it there.
Speaking of gambling.
Yes. Speaking of gambling. So this episode and future episodes of the All In Podcast are presented by MyBookie.ag. Cool gambling site. If you are in states that FanDuel maybe is not accessible, go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code ALLINPOD, and you'll get a 100% sign-up bonus on your first deposit up to $1,000. Make sure you use that promo code ALLINPOD. That way they know that we sent you guys. It is a great site, really good for that. I've used it for a long time now. We're really excited about that partnership. So go to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit using promo code ALLINPOD.
Yep, minimum deposit is $45, and like you said, they match up to 100% of that deposit. And also, if you I'm blanking on what I was going to say. Yeah, so minimum deposit of $45 matches any deposit up to $1,000. MyBookie.ag, really cool sports book. So you can do spread bets, daily fantasy stuff, all that available there on MyBookie.
Yeah. So let's move on. We have a lot to talk about today. We are going to be talking football for a while first. And let's start with the Sunday night game, which was one of the best games of the year. This was an overtime game, kind of had everything that you'd want to see, especially from an offensive perspective. So the Cardinals beat the Seahawks in overtime. Seahawks are no longer undefeated. Cardinals 5-2 right now. What were your thoughts on last night's game?
Well, for one, And I know Russ struggled a little bit later in that game with turnovers. He had three picks throughout this game, but Russ is incredible. Like, yes, there are not enough superlatives to talk about Russell Wilson and how good he is. The two deep balls he had to Tyler Lockett were just like, what do you even do as a cornerback besides pass interference?
Yeah, right.
That ball from getting there. It's just like Tyler Lockett literally didn't have to do anything but hold on to the ball when it dropped in his lap and on both of those throws early on in the game. So that's my biggest takeaway is Russ is incredible. Mm-hmm. My second biggest takeaway is Kyler Murray is incredible. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him later. But, man, you know, I got to say, when he was coming out of Oklahoma after he won the Heisman, I was a big proponent of him going and playing baseball. Because I thought longevity-wise, it would have made more sense for his health.
Even though
he's playing quarterback, which is like the safest position you could possibly play nowadays. Well, don't tell that to Andy Dalton. But
yeah,
you know, for the most part, it's the safest position in football. But it's just baseball. I thought he had a higher earning potential, right? He's the number 9 overall pick, and you see how ridiculous those baseball contracts can be. But if he's this good at quarterback, then I think he made the right choice.
I think so.
Because a very huge payday is going to be in his future. We think Pat Mahomes' contract is big now. Imagine when his time, which is going to be in like 2 or 3 more years, right? When inflation, obviously, that is going to go up. His contract's going to be ridiculous, and it'll prove that he ended up making the right choice. But yeah, that's my two takeaways. Both of these quarterbacks looked incredible last night, and it was an incredibly fun game to watch. Came down to the wire. Seahawks kind of blew it, man. They had control of this game throughout most of it, and kind of blew it. But they're still one of the best teams in the league. It's just that secondary is shaky.
Oh, it's very shaky. And it's funny you mentioned the baseball thing with Kyler Murray because, you know, watching him and Russell Wilson duel last night, like Russell Wilson, very similar situation, right? Could have went and played baseball, and we're saying baseball players end up being good quarterbacks. And they're also about the same height, right? Like, and they're in the same division now, and we're probably going to see them battle like this for the next 10 years, 10 or 15 years, really, depending on how long Russ lasts.
Right.
So I think, Russ was still in his best game. This probably put a chink in the armor of his MVP case, right? If we're looking ahead to MVP, maybe he's not a running away favorite now. He's just the favorite, which I think he still is. Just looking at the other guys, I'm not sure who makes the case to be there with him right now. But this was a really good game. And Tyler Lockett, how about him? Like, just unbelievable game. Just totally screwed me over in fantasy. I thought I had it in the bag going into last night. I really thought I had it in the bag. And he absolutely went bananas. And I had DK Metcalf, who got shut down by Patrick Peterson. But this was a good game. And I think these are, you know, talking about this NFC West, this is the best division. This might be the two best teams in that division. These are probably two playoff teams, I would think, right now. Or definitely right now, but looking ahead, I think these are two teams that are going to be in the playoffs. So probably going to see this matchup at least one more time, maybe two. So that's exciting. It was a really good game last night.
Yeah, especially because we're getting that seventh team in this year's playoff. I think you pretty much guarantee that at least three teams are coming out of the NFC West. And possibly, I think the possibility of four, they had talked about that on the broadcast last night, is that four
teams possible.
Technically can make it. That would be incredible to see, but all four teams have winning records so far. Mind you, we're recording this before the Monday night game of the Rams and Bears, but even if the Rams lose, they're still going to be sitting at 4-3. So, you know, you're looking at four teams in one division that could possibly make the playoffs. And these are probably the two best, if you ask me, out of this division. And it showed in that Sunday night game, but yeah, it was incredible to watch. Probably one of the most entertaining games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'd easily put it in the top three, I think, of games that we had this year. And it was just fun to watch.
Yeah. So let's talk about another really good game on Sunday and the other teams who are coming into Sunday undefeated, the Steelers and the Titans. this turned out to be a really good game. In the first half, it was looking like my 34-6 prediction was going to be pretty close to being right. The Steelers looked pretty dominant. They were putting long drives together.
Yeah.
And then the Titans fought back. To their credit, it is really hard to stop Derrick Henry for four quarters, right? We saw that on Sunday. Steelers looked like they had him under control in the first half. And then it just kind of shows you the way he runs and just, you know, him in general, his stature, like, it's physically tolling to do that for four quarters. And we saw that here. Tannehill came up big in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't quite enough. Gostkowski missed the field goal to send it to overtime. What did you think about this game?
It was kind of off script of how you would expect the Titans to get back into the game. The Titans usually like to get out in front early and then rely on their running game. But the Steelers, for the better part of this game, shut the run game down. They were all over Derrick Henry to start this game. I think he were in that range towards by the end of this. So he, in the second half, he actually started to pick it up. And really the entire Titans offense started to pick it up and started to claw their way back into it. But my biggest question mark is Big Ben with turnovers. He came out really efficient, taking what the defense was giving him, making good decisions, and he looked really great. And then, you know, there were just some awful decisions that he made, especially the last one. I think he was trying to go, like, down the seam. I can't remember if it was to Juju or who it was. He was trying to force a ball down the seam in the back of the end zone with a 3-point lead and like 2.5 minutes left. And I'm just like, there's literally no need for you to make that or attempt to make that throw. And really it would have needed to be a perfect ball in order for it to get there. And obviously it ends up getting picked off and gave the Titans one last drive to try to tie it up. And they ended up getting in the field goal range, but unfortunately had a missed field goal there at the end, which would have sent it to overtime. But it was weird to me to see a veteran like Ben Roethlisberger make a mistake like that, especially when he kind of been, like, I don't want to say conservative throughout the game, but he certainly wasn't forcing throws throughout the better part of that game early on. And then of a sudden he's trying to make that kind of a throw in this situation. And I'm just like, there was no need for that. And to me, it almost cost them the game. So other than that, I thought the Steelers looked really good. You know, I think they kind of almost blew it there at the end, but you have to feel good coming out of any kind of win, even if it's, you know, not exactly how, you know, it would look like it was going to be a blowout win. It ended up being a close one. So I don't think,
if
you're a Steelers fan, you don't care too much about that, but there has to be a little bit of concern, but 6-0 is 6-0.
Well, you know, and this is something I talked about last week with Ben, looking ahead to this, and, like, he's been really good with the turnovers, right? It hasn't really been there. It hasn't been gunslinging Ben like we were kind of used to. He's been really good with that. You know, this game, he had a couple that got tipped, and one of them was really bad. So, you know, that obviously is a problem. But I think I do leave this game thinking we're a lot better than the Titans. Like, even, you know, like, we really were dominant in the first half. And if you look at the second half, it's like they came back, but Ben had the dumb picks. We kind of abandoned what was working in the first half from a play calling perspective.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on about Randy Fickner's play calling for the Steelers and how he just loves, you know, he thinks he gets extra points for being cute. And it's sometimes it's pretty bad. Yeah. But I left it thinking, you know, Steelers are a lot better than the Titans. I think, you know, if we're kind of looking at these AFC teams, right, and we know that the Chiefs are going to be there and we really think the Ravens are going to be there, and then you're looking at Steelers and Titans and you're thinking, are the Steelers closer to the Titans and the Bills or are they closer to the Chiefs and the Ravens? I think we're probably thinking they're in that top tier, if that makes any sense. Yeah. So I felt pretty good about it. I think the defense did do a really nice job stopping the run against a run-dominant team. And like I said, it's wearing on a defense to go four quarters with Derrick Henry, and they couldn't do it. And that's going to be a problem for any team playing the Titans, but not every team. In fact, no other team has a guy like Derrick Henry. So I think I look at that as more of a positive for the Steelers.
Now, before we move on from the Steelers, are you at all concerned about strength of schedule? Four of the six teams they've beaten under 500. Any concerns there at all? Or you got to beat who you play?
Well, you got to beat who you play. And also, you know, these teams are under 500 because they played us. They, like, we're seven games in. Like, And I don't know. So that's a good question. And I don't have the schedule in front of me, who they've beaten and who those teams have played. But this was a good win for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I think the Browns are 5-2, and we kicked the crap out of them. The Texans are under 500, but if you look at the teams the Texans have played, and albeit they haven't looked good in those games, they've played a lot of really good teams: Chiefs, Ravens, Packers, us. So I'm looking at that. I'm probably not too worried about that. Now, this week is a big game, right? We're going to play the Ravens this week. This is Ravens week. Ravens week number one. The second one was going to be on Thanksgiving night. This is going to be a good test, right? Vegas thinks that we're still not as good as the Ravens. If you look at the line right now, it's set at 5 or 5.5. So they're looking at it like the Ravens are a better team. So it'd be interesting to see how the Steelers respond. I think that might be a better indicator as far as, you know, are we just beating teams that aren't that good?
Right.
Okay, let's play our favorite game, All In, All Out. So we have three topics for All In, All Out. First one kind of touching on our first topic, the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, as a top five quarterback, are you all in or all out?
I am all in on Kyler Murray being a top five quarterback at this point in time. And really, if it's I think he's probably fourth on my list. Okay. So right now, I'd have it as Mahomes number one. I would have Russell Wilson as a very close number two.
Mm-hmm.
In third, I have Aaron Rodgers. He's been incredible this year.
Okay, I have the same top three.
And then right after that is where I have Kyler Murray. I'm looking at what other quarterback would I rather have in the league right now in this moment in time besides him? I can't find one. Tom has been good the last few weeks, but I still think
Kyler.
I think, you know, Ben's been good, but I'd still rather have Kyler.
Yeah. Maybe. That's a tough one for me.
Right? Drew Brees doesn't look that great this year, so I don't know. It's just I can't find another person to put ahead of him that I would maybe Lamar Jackson.
That would be the big one, probably.
Maybe it's a little disrespectful to not have him ahead of Kyler Murray coming off an MVP
season. I love it.
But I think Kyler Murray's a better thrower, if you ask me.
He's definitely a better thrower.
Okay, all right. So I think he's
definitely a better thrower.
He can give me not the same, but a similar rushing threat, you know what I mean, as far as running and scrambling and making plays and improvising. Kyler Murray can give me that as well. So especially if I'm looking long term, I want Kyler Murray over Lamar.
Well, if you're talking Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, like if you put Kyler Murray in that Greg Roman system that they have built there in Baltimore, where it's the quarterback runs a lot and we run a lot and we don't ask him to do a lot of stuff, like Kyler could do all those things Lamar Jackson's doing.
Yeah, agreed.
Right? Except the Cardinals don't have to do that because he can throw the ball. So, I think that's one of the biggest detriments is against Lamar Jackson in these conversations is, like, they built a perfect system for, like, the only things he can do well. So, like, they show those things. Like, I can go on about Lamar Jackson. I don't need to. So the top three you said are definitely the top three. Yeah, right. there's no doubt about that. And then, I think we look at this second tier after that, and we're like, Kyler's probably right there with Ben. Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, he was up there. Like, I think he's in that top six. But he's progressed a little bit to me, and maybe that's Bill O'Brien. Yeah, and they're 1-6, right?
Something would have been there.
And that's probably Bill O'Brien's fault, right?
Not
only his slight regression, he hasn't been awful, but he had a slight regression this year and they're 1-6. So it's hard to really put him over and you just traded away his best receiver. So maybe if he has DeAndre Hopkins, we're having a different discussion, but he's in that top six, but I think I'd still this year for sure, I'd take Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I would too this year for sure. I would probably take Ben. I think if I'm looking at this, I'm going into a playoff game and I got to pick my guy. I think I would take Ben because I think he'd make the throws maybe. And he's just been there before. I would definitely take Kyler over Josh Allen. 100%. No question.
Yeah.
Tannehill, I like Tannehill. I like Tannehill a lot, and he was so good last year, and he went to the AFC Championship. He's probably in that same tier as we're doing it tier based.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's legit. I mean, he's earned that. He's earned to be in that discussion, and they're 5-2. Like, it's not a hot start anymore, right? Like, it's 7 games in, halfway done almost, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think it's a legit discussion.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed.
Okay, our next one is the Patriots missing the playoffs. They are 2-4 right now. Cam Newton has been terrible. They lost by double digits to the Niners, as I predicted, by double digits. It was actually a lot worse than I predicted even. It was really bad. Yeah. Cam Newton got benched. He was so bad. We've talked about these Pats, and we were expecting, you know, Belichick to kind of just be Belichick and win games coming into this year. And we kind of ignored the fact that we weren't sure what was going to happen on offense, who they were going to be. We weren't sure what was going to happen on defense with all the guys they were missing.
Yeah.
So at this point, 2-4, are you all in or all out? Are they going to miss the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they are. Mm-hmm. I'm all in. I'm all in on the Patriots missing the playoffs. And it's crazy because after like the first 3 weeks of the season, we were talking about how great Cam Newton was.
Yeah.
But I think when teams really focus in on one of the questions I did have was what happens when he has to throw the ball. And, you know, we're seeing it, right?
Yeah.
He's not getting nearly the same rushing lanes. They're really not running with him much at all. I don't know if there's any lasting impacts to him having COVID. You know, I think that's a legitimate thing to wonder about because we don't know what the science is on that. The other thing is the Patriots have no weapons.
No.
Like, other than an old, banged-up Julian Edelman who can't get open anymore because teams are taking him away. They know he's the only person who can get open at any point in the game. Like, who does he have to throw to? Like,
nobody.
N'Keal Harry's like, you know, he looks like it. Their receiving core is almost as bad as the Eagles. Like, the Eagles seem to have some talent on their practice squad. The Patriots. Oh.
And the Patriots. The Eagles is better. The Eagles receiving core is better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd take Fulgham, Greg Ward, all those guys over, you know, what the Patriots are throwing out there. It's not even like Cam Newton looks bad, but it's not even like Cam Newton's like missing wide open guys, right? Like, N'Keal Harry's getting open and Cam Newton's just missing it. Like, Cam Newton's trying to throw the ball to guys that are legitimately covered. And
they have to, right?
And it's just like they have no running game. I'm pretty sure they have some major injuries there. Dooney's out on their offensive line, so you know things like that aren't helping at all. But their offense is just so bad. And with all the people who sat out because of you know COVID concerns to start the year on their defense isn't nearly elite enough to carry this offense. Which I don't know that there is a defense that's that elite in the NFL today. So with how bad this offense is. So yeah, I'm all in on them missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe a tank for Trevor Lawrence time. I don't know that they could possibly lose more games than the Jets.
No, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
but they could try to get somebody else or
yeah, it's something like that. I don't know. But yeah.
It's bad. So I'm all out as well. 2-4. They've still got 2 games against the Bills. They play the Ravens. They play the Cardinals. They've got more losses coming on this
schedule,
and they're just not good enough. Right? They're just not good enough either. Like, you know, it'd be one thing if they started slow, and we looked at it and said, yeah, they started slow, but they're a good team. They're not very good defensively or offensively right now, and we were relying on Belichick, and it's not happening. So let's do this then.
I want to throw one question. If Brady, I think it's, you know, 7 weeks in, this is a legitimate question. If Brady's still quarterbacking the Patriots, are they 2-4 right now?
No.
What's their record if Brady's still there?
That's a good question. That is a very good question.
Right.
I think 3-3.
Yeah. I think they
win that Bronco game.
Yeah, probably. Or probably the Bronco game.
Right. They lost to Seattle. They're probably going to lose to Seattle either way on the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
They lost to the Chiefs. They're probably going to lose to the Chiefs. They lost to the Niners.
Agreed.
So I think 3-3.
Okay.
But same. Not much better.
Right, right. So it's, you know, it's not like, I don't think the blame is all on Cam here.
No. And he's been bad, but it's not all him.
Yeah, right. So go ahead. So
now I was going to say, let's do this then. So I think for the AFC, right, we know there's 7 playoff teams coming this year. I'd say Steelers, Ravens, Chiefs, Titans, and Bills are locks. Would you call those guys locks?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got 4 division winners there and 1 wild card, either it's Steelers or Ravens. So then we've got 2 wild cards from this group of Browns, Colts, Raiders, Miami at 3-3, Pats are 2-4, and Chargers and Denver are 2-4. So you got to pick 2 out of those teams.
I would take the Colts and I would take the Browns.
Yeah.
I think they both of those teams would be obvious. Although I'm not sleeping on the Raiders. I really like the Raiders. I think they're playing really well. Derek Carr has been good this year. Mm-hmm. Very, very good this year. So I'm not sleeping on the Raiders, but I would take the Colts and the Browns as of right now.
I'm definitely not sleeping on the Raiders at all. I really like their team. I think they kind of got screwed this week with the whole, like, they sent their entire offensive line home.
Yeah.
And they didn't move the game back even one day for them. So they basically had no practice for their entire offensive line. Like, they kind of got screwed. And Gruden mentioned that after the game. He was not happy about that.
Yeah.
But what about Miami? Starting Tua now coming out of the bye week, they could make some noise. Like, I just don't trust Cleveland at this point or Phillip Rivers. I don't trust Cleveland, and I don't trust Phillip Rivers either. So I could see it going anyway.
Yeah, I don't trust Baker or Phillip Rivers. What I do trust is their running games.
Yes.
And the Colts defense is pretty good. So I do trust that. So that gives me a little bit of, you know, pretty much the most confidence in them is their running games and the Colts defense. For Miami, Tua looked really good. I know he only threw 2 passes in his, you know, when he came on, but he looked good. And he could be a playmaker for them.
Well, and he must be killing it in practice if he's going to start over Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick has had bad moments, but he's been pretty solid.
Yeah, he's been more than solid. He's been like, been Fitzmagic, I would say, like as good as you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, Fitzmagic-esque, yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. He must look incredible in practice for them to make this change.
Yeah. Okay, last all in, all out, Justin Herbert. Is he a future MVP? So he had a really good game against Jacksonville, 4 total touchdowns. He threw for 350. He ran for another 66 yards. And they won the game pretty much because of him. Anthony Lynn tried to lose that game, and Herbert would not lose it. Is he a future MVP?
I think so, man. I think he's legit. He's one of the best young quarterbacks in the league.
Oh yeah,
You know he actually reminds me a lot of Burrow right now. He's like a guy who can make plays with his legs when he needs to, but he's been excellent from the pocket. Good completion percentage, makes good decisions, doesn't really turn over too much. You know, he's a rock, man. I like this kid a lot. I think he has a ton of upside. And obviously this is contingent on how good the Chargers will be in the future and what kind of people put around him, all that stuff. I was just talking about the caliber of the quarterback. Like I'd put him up in that tier. If you're talking about like first and second year quarterbacks, like he's up there with Kyler, Joe Burrow.
Well, how about this? Rank him then. Not rank all of them. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow.
I'm still taking Burrow. I still think Burrow's a little bit better than him, but I don't think there's like this huge gap between the two at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's not a huge gap, and I would probably take Burrow right now. I think what he's been able to do with Cincinnati, who has a worse roster than Chargers and specifically a worse offensive line, like that dude's running for his life, and he's still putting up points. Like Burrow's been really good, but Herbert has been fantastic. Am I going to call him a future MVP? I'm not as bold as you, so I'll be out on that. From potential alone, though, he's got the potential to be, right? He looks the part anyway. He's got the arm. He's got the mobility. He looks pretty smooth in the pocket, right? He doesn't get scared in the pocket easily. I think that matters a lot for young quarterbacks. I've been really impressed with Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, and we'll see about Tua as well. So we could have a very good quarterback class this year.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I forgot about Tua. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's there too. We just haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
So then last thing we'll talk about NFL-wise is our power rankings. So we each put together our top 10 power rankings. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So now, reminder, I said it earlier, but reminder, we are recording this before the Rams and Bears Monday night game. So by the time you see it, it'll be after that. But just keep that in mind as you hear it here. So you want to go 10 and then count down?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So at my 10th spot, I have the Rams. That's contingent on a win against the Bears tonight. I have them at my 10th spot. I have the Cardinals at 9 after their big win over Seattle, sitting at 5-2. I have the Bears at 8. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it's a little unfair to have them above the Rams after losing to them because it's kind of contingent on that. But I think they still have the better record in this case, or they'd have the same record. And I think their win or their schedule so far has been a little bit tougher. The Titans at 7. Tampa Bay at 6. I have the Packers at 5. Seattle at 4. The Ravens at 3. Steelers at 2. And I still have the Chiefs at number 1 because they put up 42 points this week without Patrick Mahomes ever really like trying this week.
Right.
So they really showed, and their defense was a big part in that. But I think the fashion that they won this week without their offense being super explosive is a big sign for me.
So do that again, 1 through 10 real quick.
So 1 through 10, I have Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, Seahawks, Packers, Bucks, Titans, Bears, Cardinals, Rams.
This is tough.
Right.
So, all right. Let's do it this way. 10, I went with the 49ers. Okay. I really like the 49ers, what they've shown the past 2 weeks, really. Like, it looks like they're kicking it into gear. I think Kyle Shanahan is the best play caller and play designer in football. And it doesn't really seem to matter who is on the field for them. You know, they are going to be in the game, and the good chance they're going to win it. The defense has been pretty good despite all of the injuries, and I think they're going to get some guys back too. So I've got 49ers at 10. 9, I have the Titans here. You know, I debated whether or not to even keep them in the top 10 because they lost this game, but I still like their team. It's the secondary that's the big problem.
Yeah.
8, I went with the Bears, and I was you know, kind of debating with myself whether or not to even put them in there because of what I don't trust about Nick Foles, but they're one loss right now, so they have to be in there.
Agreed.
7, I have the Cardinals. I think that, you know, they have to be mentioned, right? 5-2, and they just beat the Seahawks, and I have the Seahawks right above them at 6. I still think the Seahawks are a little bit better. So I have them right next to each other. 5, I have the Packers, who have been dominant in spurts, even though they looked pretty bad last week.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay at 4. I think that defense is the best in the NFC. Maybe the Bears are better, but one of the best in the NFC. And Tom Brady's been solid.
Yeah, definitely. Top 3 defense in the league, really. I think
top 3 defense in the league, right, yeah.
Are the only ones that I'd take over them.
Those are probably the 3 defenses, and then maybe the Ravens 4th.
Right.
Okay, then I have the Ravens 3rd, and then I have the Chiefs 2nd, and I have the Steelers 1st. So you might have guessed that I would have the Steelers 1st. We were talking about it pre-show. I just think they're the most complete team.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm being too biased there, but I really think they're the most complete team. When you look at them, first of all, their defense, we just said, one of the 3 best defenses in the NFL. I would argue it's the best defense in the NFL. And then offensively, they're super balanced, right? And James Conner's not the best running back in the world, but like, he gets yards, and like, their offensive line is good enough to get push. And I really think that's kind of the secret, is they're able to run the ball. People think of them as a passing team with all of their receivers that they have, and they have probably the best receiving core in the league with Juju and Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and James Washington. And Big Ben, if he's not turning the ball over, which is the biggest thing with him, and we talked about it before, I think they're the best team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and they're the last undefeated team.
And so the last undefeated team. So
I'm super biased that you have them at the top at all. So
yeah,
you know, I think most power rankings probably have the Steelers at the top or the Chiefs. I think those are probably the only two teams right now that are in that discussion. So, no, not a bad list at all.
Did you have the Saints on your list?
I did not.
Right
outside the top 10, probably somewhere in 11 to 12. I had the Niners probably at a, you know, probably in like the 11 or 12 range. So I'm actually going to do an article this week after this show with a full 32, you know, power rankings for the NFL. And I'll do that weekly every Tuesday. So take a look out for that on allinnetwork.net. You'll see it on our social medias. We'll post it and everything like that. Going forward. So we'll see where they land on my list.
Cool. All right. That is all the NFL topics we have for today. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and turn on notifications so you know when we post new videos. Head on over to our channel and find our other video we're about to do right now, which is talking about the MLB World Series. About to go to Game 6. We want to give an update on that. If you're listening on audio, we will be right back after this quick break.
See you guys.
All right, welcome back to the All In podcast. If you are listening on YouTube, thank you for clicking over to this video. If you haven't checked out our week 7 recap that we just posted, make sure you go check that out. We talked about pretty much all of the games that happened and a lot of cool topics, power rankings as well. This episode, we want to talk World Series Game 6. Is tomorrow. Game 5 was won by the Dodgers 4-2. This is shaping up to be a great series, as we both predicted. Really, this has been really entertaining. I had two screen action going on last night with the Sunday Night Football game, and I think a lot of people did. I think this has been a really entertaining series, and it actually feels like the World Series now that they've allowed some fans in there. Whether that's a good idea from a safety perspective, I don't know, but yeah, because of it, it feels like the World Series. Where are you at with this series? What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's been incredible to watch. It's, you know, I got away from watching baseball for a little bit. This has brought my love for it back. The shortened season in general kind of has.
Yeah.
You know, and with all the sports going on, just having something to watch while I'm working from home has been great. But, you know, I think it's been an incredible series to watch. No team has won 2 in a row. It's just been back and forth each game. You know, both of these teams going at it. We're seeing, you know, some of the best players for the Dodgers show up here in this series, and same with the Rays. So can't really ask for much more. And same, I had the double stream going last night for, you know, the Sunday Night Football game and this game as well. So yeah, it's been great to watch. Dodgers are up 3-2 now after their 4-2 win. And we'll see if they can close it out on Tuesday. That's the big question mark here.
That's the big question mark. And, you know, I think there's a lot of cool storylines going on right now. Probably the biggest one is Clayton Kershaw, right? Like,
yeah,
he has had this narrative and this reputation as a choker in the playoffs. And you know, for good reason, he's had that, right? He has choked over and over and over again in the playoffs. And it's almost like, you know, what's coming, broken record. When he steps on the mound in these big games. But like, to his credit, this series, he is changing that narrative. And it only takes one time to change the narrative. And then people think of you a different way, right? Think of Kyle Lowry in the NBA playoffs. He was terrible all this time. Oh, he's the worst playoff player. Wins the championship. He's vindicated. Think of even Kirk Cousins. You know, big game every time. We're betting against Kirk Cousins. He wins that playoff game last year. He's vindicated. The narrative has changed. That's how it works in sports, and that's how it's working for Clayton Kershaw right now.
Yeah.
I think probably if the series ended now, he probably would be the MVP.
Agreed.
Because he has 2 wins in a, you know, out of these 5 games. That's huge. Now, if I'm him, I'm probably really hoping that they wrap it up in 6 games, not only because I want to win in 6 games and I want to win the World Series, but also, like, if it goes 7 – they might call my number again.
Yeah.
And if, right. You know, if the door opens up again in a game 7 and then he blows it, well, there you go. You just lost all of the street cred you just gained. So I think he's probably hoping that it ends in 6. This was a good game last night. The Rays had their chances, right? The 8th inning, you know, it kind of looked like a screw up by Dave Roberts. He took Dustin May out and brought in Gonzalez. You know, the idea to face Brandon Lau, they brought him in too early, and he had to face two righty batters, including Arizona, who has been the best hitter in the freaking world all playoffs long, but got him out. First pitch, Randy went up there swinging, and he kind of just, you know, blooped out to the center fielder. It kind of looked easier than it should have been. If I were him, I would have tried to take some pitches, but that's why he's the best hitter in the world, and I'm not. So the Rays had their chances. He had two guys on, and he had a good chance. Tyler Glasnow has been bad this series.
Yeah.
You know, we were expecting a lot more from him. Former Pirate prospect. It is what it is. I'm not too sad that he's struggling, but, you know, definitely expecting more out of him in the series. But he's young, and it kind of, you know, brings, you know, it's kind of what I was talking about earlier. It feels like the World Series because of the fans, right? Like all playoffs, we didn't have fans.
Right.
And it's so much easier for these guys to pitch, especially the rookies, right? We look at even like the Braves and how many rookies they were pitching and pitching well. Like in the regular playoffs, in a normal year, you probably couldn't do that because of the fans, because of the atmosphere. It's just the pressure would probably get to a lot of those young guys. Well, like, you know, like if you don't have fans there, it makes it so much easier. Well, like now, like we're adding in fans. Not only are we adding in fans, but it's the World Series. These guys know it's huge games. And Tyler Glasnow, it was not his best outing for the second time in a row in this series. We'll see if it comes back to haunt them or if they can bounce back. You know, from a hitting perspective, Seager has been great. Mookie and Bellinger, you know, they each got a hit, but they were not like, you know, they didn't change the pace of the game, really.
Right.
Which is something that I talked about on the last podcast is, you know, if the Dodgers want to win, those two guys need to kind of set the tone. Well, it actually didn't happen that way. And Seager hit the home run and they were off and running. So, you know, now this kind of brings our next question. Game six. What are we thinking game six? You know, must win game for the Rays, obviously. And they are going with Blake Snell. Dodgers are going with Tony Gonsolin. Kind of a surprise there. I think we maybe were expecting Buehler to head back out if he was ready. I guess he's not. That's okay.
Right.
So they're going to go with Gonsolin. They're probably going to do the opener thing. I imagine he's only going to pitch two innings or so, and then they're going to go to the pen. What are you thinking about this matchup?
Yeah, so, you know, especially from the starting pitchers, you certainly have a lot more confidence in Snell coming into this game. You know, but if you're looking at possibly getting Gonsolin out of there, if he can hold down the fort for two or three innings, you know, until you can get some of your other stronger pitchers in, maybe that works out for you. But, you know, I don't know. I like Blake Snell on the mound here. I think that gives them an advantage, you know, going into this game, having a starter that can probably give you a little more innings than Gonsolin will.
Yeah.
And I think in playoff baseball, I think the pitching matters the most. So with the way this series has been going, you know, it's been back and forth. I think the Rays
got to go seven.
Yeah. I think they have to force seven, right? It's in the cards, right? Is that this series is going to go seven games. So I think the Rays will get it done and take care of business and force that game seven.
I agree with you. I think they are going to force the game seven, and I think it makes sense. It's going to go back and forth like we've seen all series. I'm glad this game is on Tuesday, and it'll be, you know, center stage. You won't have to worry about going up against football. All eyes will be on it because it should be a good game, and it'll be a big game. And this is something I talked about last time. Blake Snell, you know, he was pretty good last time out when he started. You know, I mentioned he gave up a couple of runs. The stat line didn't look great, but it didn't really tell the whole story. That was probably the best he looked in the playoffs. And he's a gamer. You know, I talk about guys who might get worse when the fans get involved and the pressure turns up. I think he's actually the opposite. I think he probably gets better when the pressure gets turned up. I think he's that type of player.
Yeah.
So I like Blake Snell coming out here for the Rays. And we also mentioned, you know, Dodgers probably going to go with this opener thing. I mean, I can't imagine he goes more than five innings because of the amount of rest he's on.
Right.
But even getting five innings and then you get to that Rays bullpen, I still trust that Rays bullpen more than the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are probably going to have to get into that a little bit earlier too. So I think this game could go in the Rays' favor. I think Randy's going to step up this time, and I'll go with the Rays to win game six. And then in game seven, I'm going to pick the Dodgers because I picked them at the beginning to go Dodgers in seven. But I am cheering for the Rays in game six because I want to see that game seven. This has been a great series, man.
Agreed, agreed. And I'm gonna stick with the Rays in game seven. We won't have another podcast until then. So
yeah.
I'm gonna stick with my previous prediction. I think the Rays force game six, and then they'll become the first team to win two in this one by taking game seven the next night. Just to pull off the upset over the Dodgers in this series.
Yeah, and that is kind of what we're hoping for, right? Like, we want to see game seven. And, you know, who knows who's going to be on the mound game seven. It's probably going to be Bueller, you would think, would be the starter. And then maybe Kershaw comes in afterwards.
Right.
But that's really good. And if you're taking Rays to win game six and Rays to win game seven, you know, that would be a great bet to place right now. You would probably get like plus 600 on that for them to still win the World Series being down 3-2. And a great place to place that bet would be mybookie.ag. If you missed it earlier, if you go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code allinpod, they will give you a 100% sign up bonus, minimum $45, maximum 1000. Sign up, deposit, use the promo code allinpod so they know we sent you, and so you get that bonus 100% match. That's a really good bonus to get, and especially with everything going on right now, baseball and football, and the Masters coming up too, which, if you don't know about gambling on golf, it is the most fun sport to gamble on, trust me.
Yeah.
So head over there and use our promo code.
Free money, guys. Take advantage.
Yep, absolutely. That is all we have for this episode. What do we have to plug, Eli?
So make sure you guys head over to allinnetwork.net. My NFL Power Ranking article will be coming out on Monday night after or actually Tuesday. It'll end up coming out Tuesday morning after the Monday night games. So stay tuned for that. You'll also be able to find our merch. The All In Network merch is available on our website. You can also find this lovely long sleeve tee. Let me move my mic so you can see it if you're watching on YouTube. Brandon Bliss also has a merch store as well, so you can find that on our website, allinnetwork.net. Make sure you check out the latest episode of All In Politics, which just came out on Saturday. They recapped the presidential debate, also talked about the recent polls and early voting statistics, and how that will shape out possible election. Remember, Election Day coming up here on November 3rd. So pretty much everywhere, I think, right now is early voting. So check with your local polling stations. Get out and vote. Make sure your right is being exercised. We don't have too many. Take advantage of it. yeah, definitely. So make sure you guys get out and vote. Let's make some real change happen.
Absolutely. The debate was actually not that bad to watch. Not as bad as the first one anyway.
The muting of the mics.
The muting was big.
Is huge. It's a game changer.
It is. And it just makes it better for everybody. Yeah. And I also think that even if they didn't mute the mics, I think probably both campaigns would have told their guy, nobody likes when you guys are interrupting each other. Obviously, right. Trump was doing it a lot more than Biden was, but nobody liked it on either side. So right. I'm glad they did. It was a good debate to watch. Make sure you are registered to go check your registration, make a plan to go vote. It is an important right. So make sure you do that. Go to allinnetwork.net. Check out all the content we have. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
See you guys on the next episode. You know, man.